Sarvatna Padim Bhaje దేవ్యభూత్ అహోయం వదూర్ధన్య నాదైవం భూపుదాంపతి సర్వాత్మనాపతిం వేదే యజ్ఞేషాం శ్రీవధూర్వ
demigod said, aho, alas, iam, this, vadu, wife, vandanya, glorious, yam, bhu, bhucha, also, evam, as, bhu, of the world, bhujam, of all the kings,
of all the kings,
atim, king, sarvatmana,
sarvatmana,
with full understanding.
With full
understanding. Atim, husband.
My husband.
Veje.
Worshipped.
Yogesham.
Yogesham.
Unto Lord Vishnu.
Unto Lord Vishnu.
Shri.
Shri.
Goddess of Fortune.
And Goddess of Fortune.
Vadu.
Wife.
Wife. Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
As raised from the wives of demigods said, all glories to Queen Archie, we can see that this queen of the great King Prithu, the emperor, all the kings of the world has served her husband with mind, speech, and body exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of God, Yageshwara Vishnu. Therefore, in this verse, the words Yageshwara Shri Vadu or Eva indicate that Queen Archi served her husband just as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of God, Vishnu. You can observe that even in the history of this world, when Lord Krishna, the supreme Vishnu, was ruling over Dwarka, Queen Rukmini was the chief of all Krishna's queens. She used to serve Lord Krishna personally, in spite of having many hundreds of maidservants to assist her. Similarly, the goddess of fortune, who had the planets, also serves Narayan personally, although there are many thousands of devotees prepared to serve the Lord. This practice is also followed by the wives of the demigods. And in days past, the wives of men also followed the same principle. In Vedic civilization, husband and wife are not separated by such man-made laws as divorce. We should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in human society and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. Husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness, follow the steps of Lakshmi Narayan or Krishna Rupini. In this way, peace and harmony can be possible in this world. The wives of the demigods continue. Just see how this chaste lady, Archie, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see. Her both Prithu Maharaja's airplane carrying Archie, for passing over the vision of the ladies of the higher planetary systems. These ladies were simply astonished to see how Prithu Maharaja and his wife achieved such an exalted position. But they were the wisest denizens of higher planetary system, and Prithu Maharaja was inhabitant of an inferior planetary system, the earth. The king, along with his wife, passed beyond the realms of demigods and went upward to Vaikuntha Loka. The word Ordubam is significant here, for the lady speaking were from the higher planetary system, which included the moon, sun, and Venus, upward to Brahmaloka, or the higher planet, the highest planet. Beyond Brahmaloka is the spiritual sky, and in that spiritual sky there are innumerable Vaikuntha Lokas. Thus the word Ordubam indicates that the Vaikuntha planets are beyond or above these material planets. And so, and it was to these Vaikuntha planets that Prithu Maharaja and his wife were going. This also indicates that when Prithu Maharaja and his wife Archie abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into spiritual airplanes which could penetrate the material elements and reach the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two separate airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral fire, they remained separate individual persons. In other words, they never lost their individual identity or became void as imagined by the impersonalists. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see the body of Prithu Maharaja was being burned and that of his wife Archie was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes to the Vaikuntha of the Lokas. All this was possible simply by Durvi Bhavena Karmana, inconceivable activity. Prithu Maharaj, the pure devotee, and his wife Queen Archie simply followed her husband. Thus they can both be considered pure devotees, and thus they are capable of performing inconceivable activities. Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to the devotional service of the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such vows of chastity and follow their husbands in all respects. A woman does not need to attain higher qualification, but if she simply follows in the footsteps of her husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife attain liberation and are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas. This is evinced by the inconceivable activities of Maharaj Prithu and his wife. In this material world, every human being has a short span of life, but those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead, for they are actually in the path of liberation. For such persons, there's nothing which is not available. Purport in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Anityama sukam lokam imam prapya prachaspamam. The Lord here declares that this material world is full of miseries and at the same time is very flickering. Therefore, one's only duty is to engage himself in devotional service. This is the best end to which human life can be put. Those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord achieve not only all material benefits, but also all spiritual benefits. For at the end of life, they go back home, back to Godhead. Their destination is described in this verse as Bhagavat Padam. The word Padam means abode, and Bhagavat means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the destination of the devotee, is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word Naishkarmiyam, which means transcendental knowledge, is also significant. And thus one comes to the platform of transcendental knowledge and offers devotional service to the Lord, one is not perfect. Generally, the process of Jnana, Yoga, and Karma are executed life after life before one gets a chance to render pure devotional service to the Lord. This chance is given by the grace of pure devotee, and it is in this way only that one can actually attain liberation. In the context of this narration, the wives of the demigods repent because, although they had the opportunity of a birth in a higher planetary system, a lifespan spending millions of years in all material comforts, they were not as fortunate as Prithu Maharaj and his wife were actually surpassing them. In other words, Prithu Maharaj and his wife scorned promotion to the higher planetary systems, leaving to Brahmaloka, because the position which they were attaining was incomparable. The Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Puravatanorjuna. From the highest planetary system in the material world to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. In other words, even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he has to return to the miseries of birth and death. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also asserts, Tetam Bhuktva Sargalokam Vishalam Shine Kundiyam Artam Lokam Vishanti. When they have thus enjoyed heavenly sense pleasure, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, after exhausting the results of pious activities, one is to come again to the lower planetary systems and begin a new chapter of pious activities. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam Naishkarmiyam Apyachuta Bhavam Parjitam. The path of liberation is not at all secure unless one attains the devotional service of the Lord. Even if once promoted in person of Brahman, he runs every chance of falling down to this material world. If it is possible to fall down from Brahmajyoti, which is beyond the higher planetary systems in this material world, then what can be said of the ordinary yogis and karmis? It can only be elevated to the higher material planets. Thus the wives of the demigod denizens of the higher planetary systems do not very much appreciate the results of karma, jnana, and yoga. Translation: the wives of the demigods said, "Oh, glory, all glories to Queen Archie. We can see that this queen of the great king Prithu, the emperor of the kings of the world, has served her husband in mind, speech, and body exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the Supreme Personality of God, Yogesha or Vishnu." These are the wives of the demigods speaking, and they are glorifying the wife of Prithu. The glorification is obvious because She set a good example of devotion to her husband by entering the fire. Then they begin praising her. Of course, we see that it was natural that Ritu Maharaj had an ideal wife, because he's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord, and he's eternal, and his wife is eternal anyway, so there's no question of them deviating from the proper dharma and from faith. So it is natural for them. So here the wives of the Devatas, women of the heavenly planets, are praising such devotion. Because this is what is expected in normal dharma in the material world within the Varnashram system. So, in other words, we have rules in the Varnashram system for the husband and the wife, etc. So, the rules for the women are called dharma. So in those rules that we have, rules for chastity and faithfulness, etc. of the woman. So that is the ideal in the Varnashram system. So they follow perfectly, and therefore the wives of the demigods are praising Archie, the wife of Ritu Maharaj. But as I said, it's not a big accomplishment for her, because she's eternal. So they gave up their bodies in one sense, because there were bodies that got burned. But just as we see with Krishna, Krishna got shot in the foot, and then he left a body there, and then simultaneously, though no one could see, a chariot came down, and he got on the chariot, and he went up to the spiritual world like that. So no one saw that, and they saw his body lying there. So that is a material body, which you say is like a Vishwarupa or whatever, because Vishwarupa is a material body. So there was a material body, and then there was a spiritual body. So the same can be said for Prithu and his wife, because he's a Shaktivesha avatar, he has an eternal consciousness. They have a spiritual body, so in one sense, they never really gave up their bodies, but they just left a material representation, which is for appearance sake, in the material world, because they're playing the role of ideal king and queen, husband and wife, etc. So the devatas were amazed that they could see. Or the wives of the Devatas, they saw this, that actually she was ascending beyond the material world, going above the Devatas. So of course this is possible for two reasons. One is, of course, they are Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord, so they're not material anyway. Whereas the Devatas have material bodies, and the Brahma has a material body. So they can't at will go to the spiritual world. If anyone goes to the spiritual world, that is also praiseworthy by the Devatas, the wives. That is a remarkable feature for them. They're surprised what's happening. Of course, because we say that they are Shaktivesh avatars, it's not surprising in one sense, but under normal circumstances, it looks like that. So it looks as if they gave up their material bodies and attained spiritual bodies and went to the spiritual world. So it's not surprising for another reason, that is, that they were great devotees of the Lord. So simply following dharma is not enough to get to the spiritual world. If you do dharma, you can go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or whatever. So just being chased, the wife being chased, is not enough to get you to the spiritual world. Well, you can go to higher planetary systems, definitely, because you follow dharma, but you can't go to the spiritual world by that. So if one is a devotee of the Lord, and one attains pure bhakti, then of course one can go to the spiritual world. So this was the case as far as their actions as setting example in the material world. Besides following dharma, Prithu and his wife were also great devotees. And that was shown previously, where he did yoga and then he concentrated on the Lord and fixed his mind on the Supreme Lord. So, in this way he showed that bhakti is superior to yoga, jnana, and karma. So it is not surprising, therefore, that they went to the spiritual world because of that. But still, the wives of the Devatas are a little surprised Why? Because they are also devotees, but they didn't go. They can't go. So in other words, there are various grades of devotion. So only when one reaches the level of pure bhakti, then one is allowed into the spiritual world. That means one has completely destroyed the material coverings and has prema. Then one can go to the spiritual world. So, therefore, the surprise is that they had achieved that stage, not just their devotees, because devotees are also devotees. They had achieved perfection of bhakti, and therefore they went higher than the devatas. So, the other point, of course, is that Queen Archie followed her husband. So by being devoted to her husband, wherever her husband goes, she can go. That's the idea. So that is the idea inculcated in the Varnashram system. That has positive aspects and the negative aspects. Because if the husband goes upward, you go upward. If he goes downward, you go downward. That would not be so good. Of course, because the wife could deliver the husband in that case and elevate him also by her good activities. So not necessarily she follows him everywhere after in the next life. The bad aspect, of course, is that and then what this also encourages attachment, material attachment. So that can be a negative factor if we emphasize the fact that only the wife is devoted to the husband in such a manner, then how can she be devoted to the Supreme Lord? Competition is there. So then she'll be stuck in the material world, always following her husband around. Instead of getting out of the material world. But the solution is if the husband is a devotee and she follows everything he does, then she also becomes a devotee. So this kind of solves the problem. Of course, in the process of doing the bhakti, then they will also become detached from bodies. They'll become detached from material identification. So then they won't be so much concerned with that. So at that stage, duties of the material world be followed, but they will recognize that the duties of bhakti are higher. So their main attachment will be for the Supreme Lord rather than for each other, which is the normal system in material dharma. So, as far as devotees are concerned, therefore, the ideal has to be a little adjusted so that the Lord is in the center, not the husband and the wife. Yeah. When we do devotional service, because the Atma has faith that our intention is to please the Lord, not ourselves, then it becomes spiritualized. No karma attached to that action. Well, the surprise that anyone can go to the spiritual world, because they can't go. That's all. Something that they cannot do, that's all. They'll be surprised by anyone that goes there. They're surprised when the Christian kills a demon and he gets liberated. They're surprised by that also. How can a demon get liberated? We don't even get liberated. Well, it's similar, but not all the same rules, obviously, but there's similarities. Because the Lord institutes Dharma, but Manu, who institutes the Dharma, mainly what we know as Dharma, is ruling Bhumandala, Earth, not higher planetary systems. But it's also connected, because in Dharma you have to worship devatas. So they're the recipients of Dharma also. Well, both is there. The idea is that she also personally, because Rukmini is the greatest devotee of the Lord, then she also personally serves him. But it's not that she tells everybody, get away, you can't serve the Lord, only I'm going to serve the Lord. It's not like that, but she also personally serves the Lord, but she also engages others. The king. Only sannyasi. Only the sannyasi that gets the burial.
Does that have an effect in terms of what they achieve after that?
Hmm?
Does it have an effect what happens to their body?
Who?
Maybe a sannyasi is given samadhi or not.
Well, ultimately no, because if you're a devotee, it's not a matter at all. The reason sannyasi is not burned is that he shouldn't touch fire. He has given up all samskaras, so he shouldn't touch fire.
You see, sannyasi is not buried.
Huh?
Not burned, maybe buried.
Yeah, no fire. Sudras don't follow. What about Vaishyas? Well, I don't see, there's no seat at all nowadays. But well, the Kshatriyas definitely follow. I don't know about the Brahmins. Have we an example of Brahmins following?
No.
Not much.
Only when it is.
Whatever. I don't know what the scripture says about it in detail.
Yeah,
what's his?
She can go back to God.
Well, she's superior in that sense. Yeah. Instead of following her husband and following him out and becoming a demon, obviously it's better. And the wife of the husband who is a devotee, is it necessary that she take diksha from a guru, as she may show more respect to the guru than to her devotee husband? Well, there are various opinions on that. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they do initiate husband and wife, etc. I think in Sampradayas probably they don't, I don't know. In the Sri Sampradaya, they initiate women, and Madhva, they probably don't either. Yeah, only the men. Yeah, so that is a little bit of a difference there. So in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, women also get initiation or whatever. The devotion here, as I said, is a little different, because you could say the same thing about if she's a devotee, then she'd be more devoted to Krishna than her husband. Same thing. Whether it's Guru or Krishna, she could do the same thing. So that is there. And ultimately, of course, that is so. Anyone wants to go to the spiritual world, they have to be more devoted to Krishna than the husband or the wife or anybody. So in other words, household life gets destroyed in the process of bhakti ultimately. You have to face that ultimately. You can't go with your material attachments to the spiritual world. But it's a gradual affair. So in the Varnashram system, this would be handled by the process of Vinyasa life, and then gradually you go to Vanaprastha life, and you become a little more detached, and then Sannyasa, and then you become detached at that point. So in the Grihastha life, then the attachments would not be so great for the Supreme Lord. And in Sannyasa life, of course, the attachment would be greater, therefore you would give up, it would be easier to give up those attachments, whatever. So the same thing would go for, I suppose, Guru in the same way, that in Grihastha life, then that attachment would be less and then more, and if one advanced into Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, or whatever. Well, it's not necessary. There's no necessity of them to do so, and it's also a disturbance of the pastime, so they don't.
Following dharma is not a qualification for.
No.
At the same time, the devotional obviously is
dharma.
What's that? Being devotional, always being dharma.
Well, in one sense, whatever is favorable in dharma, he follows. Like sense control and whatever is there, they can follow. That's not a problem. It's favorable for bhakti, so they take favorable elements and practice that as long as we're doing sadhana. But they go to the spiritual world. Same rules don't apply there. You give up that dharma because it's material. In other words, dharma deals with sattva, rajas, and tamas. Bhakti is nirguna. So you never give up bhakti, but you will give up karma yoga and varnashram, ashtanga yoga and jnana. All those practices are in the gunas. So they have to necessarily be given up for liberation or for going to the spiritual world, whatever. They'll have to ultimately be given up. So one cannot have, if one is attached to those things, then that's the bondage of the world. One would be, stuck in the world to come back and do the dharma again. It's a sattvic aspect. Now, the devotee himself develops all good qualities. But those good qualities are not sattvic qualities, because those are cause of bondage. Bhakti gives you liberation from the material world. So the qualities the devotee develops must be spiritual qualities. But they may look like material qualities. Or they're kind of similar to the sattvic qualities. But actually they're in relation to the Supreme Lord. So therefore they're not material qualities. I suppose they have to adjust in that case.
Nirantara se Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Guenze se Bhakti Nirantara Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Oh, I know the blue line.